Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined shortly by Jennifer Hammond from Fox 2 in Detroit, looking ahead to this matchup between the Titans and the Lions on Sunday. But Joe, this is going to be some fun football on Sunday, especially if Chase Daniel is at quarterback for the Lions. I, for one, am looking forward to it.
I mean, yeah, it should be really, really fun.
Riveting.
Yeah, to watch some Detroit Lions football. I'm telling you, I mean, like, I'm just looking at this. It's like, gosh, is this going to screw over Derrick Henry, you know? There's so much. As I look at this team, you know, now, the playoff push is about to start, and obviously the Titans can clinch it, by the way, on Sunday if a few other things go right. But there's also this, it's like the two, you got, you know, competing storylines here. Derrick Henry, like, can Derrick Henry get a fourth quarter against the Detroit Lions? That's part of the storyline Sunday. Can he possibly enjoy a fourth quarter against that Lions defense?
And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jennifer Hammond from Fox 2 in Detroit. Jennifer, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Good morning. Hello from snowy Detroit.
Oh, it's snowing up there?
Well, it snowed last night and yesterday. We only have about 2 inches, probably not nearly as significant as folks to the east of us. But I like it. I prefer a white Christmas.
2 inches of snowfall would put this city into an absolute tailspin. So
I'm sure of that.
So, Jennifer, we're looking ahead to this game between the Titans and the Lions coming up on Sunday. And obviously a big talking point is Matthew Stafford and what his availability is going to be. What's the latest on that front? And do you expect Stafford to be in the game on Sunday for the Lions against the Titans?
I honestly don't. Personally, because rib injuries, we've seen how they go, and also the fact that it's on his left side. Even on Monday, Coach Daryl Bevel, who played quarterback, said that that's a much tougher go, and that's the side, because you've just got to lean into it, and it could create more problems and significance for his performance. As far as his toughness goes, I mean, this guy is tough as nails. He's played through a lot of things. He would have played through a broken back last season if they would have let him. I think he wanted to even go back into the game on Sunday, and of course that wasn't going to be possible. But he missed practice Wednesday, which they expected that he wouldn't be practicing. And he's been getting significantly better, but he hasn't been ruled out, certainly, by the team. And Stafford himself even said that, you know, he feels like he's got a chance to play. So who knows? I mean, I would never count him out, but the doctor in me says probably not.
So before we continue with this interview, I only know Jennifer Hammond as Hammer. In fact, it's weird to hear someone call you Jennifer. You cool? We can call you Hammer the rest of the interview, right?
I mean, please.
Yes.
Please,
I mean,
do.
All right. Now I feel like I'm back home. All right. So Hammer, how bad was Matt Patricia?
We miss you, Rexy.
I know. I miss you guys too. How bad was Matt Patricia? Is he a guy that the Titans should even look at for a second for a defensive coordinator?
Well, as far as his defensive coordinating skills go, I mean, He had a track record in New England, and he had success there. As far as the head coaching skills go here in Detroit, obviously we saw what the record was, and we saw how that ended. I wouldn't be able to speak to his interviewing prowess or how he serves as a second in command, because I've only witnessed him firsthand as the guy running the show. And I will say, I don't know that he'll ever get another head coaching gig. I mean, a lot of guys do leave Detroit, fortunately or unfortunately, don't ever get that opportunity again. But then you saw, you know, Rod Marinelli left here, went down to Dallas, great D coordinator. Jim Schwartz left here, went to Philly, great D coordinator. Marty Morningwig has had a ton of success. So, I mean, I think stranger things have happened.
Well, it seems like the players really disliked him, right? I mean, that's what I got from a lot of his tenure.
Yes, absolutely. There was a lot of that. There are also a lot of the guys that he brought over from New England who are really devoted to him, who love the guy and would run through a brick wall for him and would play for him again tomorrow or in a heartbeat. So, you know, depending on who you ask. But I think the majority of the room would say this guy was really difficult to play for. He was just unnecessarily hard on his players. He really came in trying to set a tone as a quote-unquote hard ass. And I don't think it went over well. I mean, I think it's one thing to try to demand respect and command respect, but I do think it's something that has to be earned. And culture can't just be changed because you treat people like dirt.
Jennifer Hammond from Fox 2 in Detroit on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Jennifer, what's kind of the gauge of the fan base right now in Detroit? Obviously, we know, and Joe talks about this all the time, it's been such a long-suffering fan base in Detroit, just waiting for this Lions team to be good and to be competitive and to get into the playoffs and win some games. Where would you say this fan base is at right now with this franchise, with the ineptitude that we've seen for the past few decades, really?
Well, first and foremost, when hiring Chris Spielman as a guy to be on the advanced team to get your new GM in here is the most encouraging thing they've seen in the last maybe 10 or 15 years. That gives you an idea. And I love Spielman, and he's great, and he's going to be amazing, and he'll lend a lot to this. He keeps it real. He's really smart. He's traveled the league. His brother Rick has been in Minnesota for a long time, and Rick was here previously. You know, there's been a lot of talk about them needing to continually get involved with their former players, and I think Spielman is the perfect fit for this situation. I do think that the fact that Sheila Ford-Hamp didn't wait till the end of the season and decided to cut ties with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn simultaneously, I think that was a huge step, maybe in just a little bit of faith being restored with ownership. I mean, certainly things changed between William Clay Ford's tenure and his wife's tenure, and now they're expecting that maybe they'll change and get a little more serious again between Martha Ford and Sheila Hamp. It certainly is encouraging to me that she's a no-nonsense kind of woman and that she is leaving no stone unturned to get this GM search right. And one of the things that they've done in the past is they just haven't really utilized every avenue of and resource to get the right people in here. And they've used a lot of first-time guys, both in the GM position and the head coaching position. And when they hired Quinn and Patricia, of course, I was one of the people that was optimistic, thinking they came from a winning culture and a great tradition of Super Bowl rings and the Patriot way, and that it might be successful and that certainly anything, you know, would be good here. But Jim Caldwell was a good coach, couldn't get them over the great hump. You know, the winning the playoff thing is what has always really stymied this team. So sadly, I think, again, 9-7 and getting into the playoffs is what the expectation and hope is. But Sheila Hamp wants more, and she's made no bones about it.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell looks okay at this
point.
He sure
does.
Yeah. Do you have any favorites? I know the Lions, well, I believe they've interviewed Lewis Riddick, or maybe they're going to. I know other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they've gone the TV. Now, I know Riddick isn't just a TV guy, but they went the TV guy before with Matt Millen.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. What about for Robert Saleh? It seems like there's a lot of momentum for him. Do you have any favorites for these jobs?
You know, I think that that's a great one. I think Saleh's a great one because, obviously, there's the local connection to Dearborn. And I think that would be a huge, if we're talking fan favorite, I think he's one of the guys that out front right now is a fan favorite. You know, it remains to be seen. A guy who's a great coordinator, can he come in and take over the head coaching job? I think they've got a lot of people they need to talk to because, you know, once upon a time when Mike Vrabel was available, at the same time when Matt Patricia was available, he kind of got a courtesy interview here in Detroit, and it felt very flyby. And he was the one that I really felt like I wanted in Detroit as a media person to cover and to also have a former player. I feel like there's a great connection with the former player to the players. I think that always goes over sometimes better. It's hard to say what direction they'll go. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, John Dorsey here and there, and certainly Chris Spielman had ties to Cleveland. But, you know, he's got some blemishes on his record, if you will. They're in line, too, behind a lot of other teams that are looking to replace head coaches and other places that, quite frankly, might be more desirable locations, Atlanta being one of them. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes for the Lions in the offseason, but I do know that they want to move fairly quickly.
All right, Jennifer, be honest with us. Before yesterday, did you know that a fractured throat was even possible with Frank Ragnow? What happened in the game on Sunday against Green Bay?
I saw that on the report, and I thought, I think this is the first time in the 27 years I've covered the Lions that I've ever seen throat listed as the injury. It is the most bizarre thing. I don't know, and it really sounds painful.
Yeah.
If you've ever even just gotten clipped in the throat, I mean, it like takes you out at the gut.
A fractured freaking throat.
Yeah, but that dude is as tough as they come. I'll tell you, Frank Ragnow, I'll have him on my team any day of the week.
Does this team have any fight left in it, Jennifer? I mean,
like
they gave the Packers a game.
Yeah. And I think that fight all comes from Daryl Bevel and the fact that they've got Daryl Bevel there standing in front of them and talking to them. He is a breath of fresh air. I think the players sense it. They haven't given up. You know, certainly they're challenged by talent and injuries. Like, a lot of teams have injury problems, but they're really challenged. Like, the guys they could least afford to lose to injury have been out with injury, you know, this season, even in Galladay and Trey Flowers, just for starters. And then Okuda, who was really having a struggle this rookie season, goes out for season-ending surgery. It's the kind of thing where it was impressive, I think, that they got past Chicago and came up with that win, came back from behind and won the way they did. I think a lot of that was wanting to continue to play for each other, and I think that comes down from, you know, directly from the head coach. I don't see them getting past Tennessee. I didn't see them getting past Green Bay. Actually, I didn't even see them getting close. I lost by a hook in my pick, so I'm a little disappointed by that. But I will say that, obviously, you've got a running back that poses some serious problems for every defense, let alone a defense that's ranked 28th against the run. So I think that it could be a long day for the Lions this weekend.
Jennifer Hammond from Fox 2 in Detroit has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Jennifer, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to join us.
Wait, can I just tell you how envious I am that the city of Nashville now has Joe Rexroad? Because he drove the party bus up here in Detroit when we would go on the NCAA tournament runs with the Spartans, and we miss you, Joe.
Oh, Hammer. Love you, miss life you. You
not,
know what?
Life is not the same. Have you ever told them the story of your going away party?
I haven't, but that we need a couple of seven. But I'll tell you guys real fast. There was a Michael Jackson impersonator.
Oh boy,
and he was
comes to mind.
He was pretty
in
good.
In St. Louis, no less.
This was after Middle Tennessee beat Michigan State out of nowhere. Yes, it was the impromptu going away party.
And I won't say that anybody in the media corps was happy about that.
Right. Jennifer, good thanks times. So much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Hammer. You
when
too.
We come back, we'll continue to dive into this matchup between the Titans and the Lions. How is it that the Lions have been this bad for this long? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, week 15 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will open later today. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a 10-roof gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, I've got to say, I like your version of this song much better than the song that's currently playing. You do a much better job with this.
Thank you. You know, mine's a little bit modernized, altered the lyrics a little bit, but that's a nice, you know, a nice old-timey kind of feel there to that one. That felt like, that sounds like it was recorded like in the 30s when I think the song was written.
Maybe the last time the Lions were good?
Yeah, well, you know, they did. Hey, now, you know, I've got older relatives who tell me all kinds of stories about those 1950s Lions. You know, the Lion, for people who don't know, the Lions and Browns were the two juggernauts, the two dynasties. They would play in the title game year after year. Lions, Browns, you got Bobby Land, you got Otto Graham. I mean, you know, that was the clash of the Titans. It was Lions Brown. Just imagine that as a reality in the NFL. Ever.
I like how you tossed the clash of the Titans in there too. That was good.
Yes, thank you. Yes, oh, it's like how I use the term "tighten up" normally in life, and I never mean it to be a pun for the Titans motto, and yet I still use it.
So we got a text yesterday on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it just asked simply the question: how is it possible that the Lions have been this bad for this long? And it is very interesting, Joe. Like, the NFL is designed basically for everyone to go 8-8 with, like, the salary cap restrictions and, you know, the draft, the way it's set up. Like, the NFL, they want as much parity as possible. And I'm 28 years old, and it seems like for the overwhelming majority of my life, the Lions have just been an absolute joke. And was it like one playoff win in the last 50 years or whatever the stat is? Like, it's really, really, how is it possible that the Lions have been this bad and this inept for this long?
Well, I mean, it's very easy to explain. It's ownership. I mean, you think about, you know, with the Titans, what has been the change here in the last few years? John Robinson, sure. I think Vrabel has been a step up at head coach, but to me, the bigger picture is that Amy Adams-Strunk has taken, you know, taken over controlling ownership and decided to pour resources and care and, you know, and have the view of, you know, the fan base and what you're doing to make your organization a good place to work. All these things. Like, I think she deserves a ton of credit for what the Titans have done here in the last few years to turn things around. And with the Lions, I mean, it's the Ford family has mismanaged the team miserably over many, many years. And, you know, if you want to go back, one of the they used to be known very much as a very cheap franchise. You know, wouldn't pay players, would let players go. This even happened in the early 90s. The one playoff win, they went 12-4. They crushed Troy Aikman and the Cowboys. They had Barry Sanders. They had a really good team. They got to the NFC Championship game, lost to Washington, but then they let some key players go rather than keep them and sign them, and they had the money to sign them. You know, there's an example of, you know, some of the decisions. But it's just bad decisions in picking your coaches and your GMs, you know? I mean, and I think they've gone flavor of the month in a lot of cases. I mean, they've had actually some good teams that have made the playoffs. I mean, Barry Sanders made the playoffs, what, 6 times?
Yeah.
In a, like an 8-year span. So they had like 10-6 kind of teams and then not winning in the playoffs. And then since then, it's been a lot worse. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been in 3 playoff games, should have beat the Cowboys with an 11-5 team 6 years ago. And they, you know, they got a little bit hosed in that game. But regardless, it's overall been a lot of just bad decisions. Then you move on from Caldwell. Oh, 9-7 is not good enough. And, of course, since then you've won, what, a total of 14 games in 3 years. So yeah. Nice work.
It's amazing, like, when you think about they've had Barry Sanders, who many people still regard as the greatest running back to ever play the game. You've got Matt Stafford, who I think is criminally underrated in his time in Detroit. At one point you had Calvin Johnson, who's one of the best wide receivers that I have ever seen, and you have nothing to show for it, basically. Like, I feel so bad for Matt Stafford and what he's had to go through in Detroit, and just knowing that, like, when we start to have the conversation of, like, the really, really good quarterbacks of this era, he's not going to be as high as I think he probably should be, just based on the fact he plays for the Lions.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, I think, overcame that. Like you said, Barry Sanders, it's funny when you even think about, because now Derrick Henry is doing some things. For example, Derrick Henry, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders all had 3 games of 200-plus and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now Derrick Henry stands alone. He's the only guy who's had 4 of those. But a lot of the things he does, or like the 65-yard touchdowns, like Barry Sanders is on the same list. And it's funny to think of that because it's like that's, little Barry Sanders, 5'8", like how is that even the same position when you compare those guys? But Barry Sanders is going to be regarded forever as one of the greatest. Calvin Johnson, too. But, yeah, Matthew Stafford is not – you're right. He will not be thought of in that way. And by the time he's done, I mean, who knows how long he'll go. He's going to have ridiculous numbers, and it's reflective of his talent. His arm talent is extraordinary. I would make the case that Mahomes, Rodgers, I think Stafford might be in a trifecta with those guys in terms of arm talent in this league. A lot of people might be like, "Wait, are you serious?" But like, watch the guy play. It's ridiculous. He just unfortunately plays for this terrible franchise. I mean, it would be great to see him get a chance somewhere else that has a chance to do something. And, you know, hey, maybe the Lions make good GM and coach hires and they rebound, but I'd love to see him play for a different franchise, and I think people would view him differently.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in and says, the Lions are so bad, they had 2 generational talents just up and decide to retire. Yeah. Not good. Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders.
Yeah, and, with Johnson, I mean, I think – I don't know if it was as much that, we're seeing more and more players make health decisions now,
yeah.
Okay? But with Barry, for sure. Like I said, that is when I said, I will spend the rest of my life only making fun of this franchise. I will devote myself to not letting my children root for this franchise. I've failed there. I have failed.
You have.
I have a 13-year-old who is still, you know, like, who's the next coach going to be? Just, who cares? But that was a killer because, you know, Barry Sanders should be the all-time rushing leader right now. He absolutely would be. And, you know, look, all due respect to Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith was a great player. He played on great teams. There is no comparison between those two guys. Now, Barry's in the discussion with the great, great ones. Emmitt Smith is not, in my opinion. And I know some Cowboys fans or Emmitt fans would get mad about that. There's an example of a guy who played with one of the great offensive lines of all time and with a great quarterback, with a great receiver, with an all-around just, you know, dominant offense. And again, I'm not saying he wasn't great, but he should not be in that discussion. And he's an example of someone who's elevated by what's around him versus some of these guys we're talking about on the Lions who have to overcome a lot to be as great as they were. And, hey, look, it kind of goes back to our discussion from earlier with Shiel when he's talking about Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes. I mean, I do think there is a case to be made that look at what Mahomes has in terms of his play caller and his skill around him versus Rodgers.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, what do the Lions and Jadeveon Clowney have in common? Joe liked both of them at one point, and they're not worth it. That's a nice job by Heidi there.
Joe's Clowney.
Always a dig. There's always a way to get it back to Joe's Clowney there.
I feel like Heidi's kind of been hiding. Where have you been hiding, Heidi?
There's not a lot to talk about with Clowney lately.
I've missed you. Yeah, but she can rip on me in other ways. So
that's true.
Thanks for chiming back in, Heidi. I welcome your shade.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, we got to get Stafford. He can be our next Tannehill. Scrap heap to star. Titans going out and getting Matt Stafford this offseason, baby. Bring him in here.
For real?
That's what the text says.
Okay. I mean, I think the Titans are all right at quarterback, aren't they?
I think so, too.
I tell you what, and actually the guys, you know, the guys, Darren Donick and Chase were talking about this yesterday, and I had not thought about it, but what if the Colts had Matthew Stafford?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had everything else they have, that O-line, you know, that defense – pretty good receivers, some young receivers who I think are going to get better, good backs, and then that arm. I tell you what, that could be a scary team. I mean, seriously, like Phillip Rivers, great career, and he's still good at what he does, but that's totally different. Like, there's an example. Phillip Rivers is going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
We would all agree on that?
Yeah.
Now, Matthew Stafford may too. I don't know how long he'll play. He may just have too much of an accumulation of stats to not get in, but most people wouldn't look at him and say, oh, Hall of Famer. But he is so much better right now than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
So much better.
I would agree. And look, his arm talent, I do think if he ends up moving on and going somewhere else and they go in a different direction at quarterback in Detroit, I think he would be highly coveted on the open market. Like, Matthew Stafford is really good. Like, Aaron Rodgers talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think it was on McAfee's show about how underrated that guy is. He is really good, and if he's not able to play on Sunday in this game against the Titans, I was actually kind of nervous about this game for the Titans if Stafford could play because he can light it up at any time. Like, he just put 400 yards up against Chicago a couple weeks ago, and we've seen this Titans defense. This was not going to be a gimme. If he can't play in this game, I mean, that's just a massive deal for the Titans.
It is. No, it is. And look, again, I'm going back to – you don't want that if you're the Titans because, yes, they are capable of giving up 400 to him and a bunch of touchdowns too. But him not playing is not good for Derrick Henry. It's just not because I don't look. Maybe Chase Daniel will surprise me.
I can't wait for the Lions to come out and surprise you.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
You know, Chase Daniel just throw it all over the yard. You know, maybe he will. But you talk about starter to backup gap. That's got to be one of the biggest ones in the league. Now, I don't know all the backups in the league. There's some other big gaps. There's a big gap here.
Aaron Rodgers to Tim Boyle. It's a pretty big gap.
Well, there you go. I was just going to ask you who is freaking back. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll see that with these teams with great quarterbacks, but that's a drop to Chase Daniel.
When we come back, we'll get more into that game. The line for the Titans in this game is huge. One of the biggest we've seen in a long time in terms of how much of a favorite the Titans are. What do we make of that? When's the last time the Titans have been this big of a favorite? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And looking ahead to the matchup on Sunday between the Titans and the Detroit Lions. And right now, the line is huge for the Titans in this game. Titans favored by 10.5 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Some places have it as much as 11. I think it opened as an 8-point line for the Titans. So a lot of confidence from Vegas in the Titans in this game, and we'll see what the future looks like for Matthew Stafford. We had Jennifer Hammond on earlier in the hour say it's unlikely that he plays, but you never count that guy out with all the different things that Stafford has played through in his career. But if it comes out this week that Stafford is ruled out and he won't be playing in this game against the Titans, where do we think this line goes? Like right now it's at 10.5. Where do we think the line goes by kickoff in this game if Chase Daniel is the starting quarterback for Detroit?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's of course, the line moves with the money. Yeah. The money going on the Titans. I wouldn't be surprised if another couple – I mean, it's already moved because I think the tea leaves are pretty strong. The Lions signed someone new for the practice squad. Stafford, the way he's talking about it, very different than – again, tough guy, has played through a ton of injuries – but he doesn't sound too positive about it. So the money's already moved, but I could see it going maybe another point and a half, 2 points, like on Friday if that
– little 12.5 action.
Something like that, you know. And, frankly, I'd love the Titans. Of course, don't want to ask me what I like on any sort of sports event with a line on it.
Yeah, but where do you think this line will end?
What's
your level of comfort?
Yeah, exactly. The person to ask is our resident Jimmy the Greek here.
I think if Chase Daniel is the starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions, the line's going to be like 27.
I'm kidding.
I don't know, 13, 14? Yeah. I think it'll
think
go
it
up
get that
a
high?
Couple
think
more points.
Could.
I think it definitely could. The Titans haven't been more than 11.5-point favorites since 2009 when they played the St. Louis Rams at home late in the season. Chris Johnson ran wild that day. And the highest total they have ever been favored by is 16 points against the Cleveland Browns, a combined 3 times between 99 and 2000.
I don't think it gets up to that. I don't think we get to 16 in this. But, it's been rare that the Titans have been this – I mean, you mentioned a few times against the Browns, the game against the Rams in 09. I mean, I don't remember the last time they've even been this close to 11.
I mean, especially if the Lions declare Matthew Stafford out either tomorrow or Saturday for there to be timed for the line to really build up before kickoff. If it's something where they announce it at 10:30, maybe it doesn't move up that high. But, I mean, it already started at, 8.5 or 9?
Yeah.
And it's at 11. Thereabouts, 10.5, 11, and depending on where you look. So I think it has a definite shot of getting up to 12 or 13 by kickoff.
If you're a Titans fan and, your team wins to break the 9-7 streak Sunday, Derrick Henry has a big day, you're 10-4, but you don't cover, and you were so sure that your team was going to cover, and you acted on it. How upset will you be?
Oh, pretty upset. I'd be pretty upset.
Like, it just seems like, Chase freaking Daniel, come on.
Like a backdoor, like the other night with the Browns and Ravens game. Like, people lost money on that.
Oh.
It's a tough break sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it happens. Maybe you get a garbage time touchdown from Chase Daniel to Marvin Jones Jr.
That's true. He's still a good receiver.
Good receiver.
He's a good, and TJ Hockenson is a nice player at tight end. Their backs they do have good backs. I mean, Adrian Peterson, but DeAndre Swift is coming on. I mean, I think he's going to end up being a nice player. So they got guys that Daniel can just distribute the ball to and make plays. But I think without Galladay too, that's a big absence.
Well, look, the Titans defense in the secondary, they've barely covered anyone all year long. So I'm not going to throw it out of a range of possibility that Chase Daniel can come in and do a good job. Like, obviously, you got to feel really good about the Titans in that situation. But that line gets up 12.5. I'm not going to discount that Chase Daniel against this defense can keep it within 12 points.
Yeah.
You don't sound very confident.
I mean, yeah.
It's also the NFL.
Yeah, it is. It is the NFL. It's just, you know, again, there's no reason to look at this Lions defense against this Titans offense and think, you know, it's going to – I mean, again, this is a game that I'm going to go back to the secondary pursuit, but still a very important one. Just give Derrick Henry carry after carry. Like, try to get him, like, 28 carries in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, we mentioned earlier, and Jennifer Hammond talked about it, too. I think the Lions 28th in rush defense, and with some of the injuries they've had in the secondary, like, their pass defense isn't great either. Like, you look at the game they had last week against the Packers, and you think, all right, well, the Packers didn't put up that many points against the Lions. The Lions did a great job of holding on the ball in that game. Like, they just ran the ball down the field, and Stafford played well against that Green Bay defense, which is still not very good. So the Packers actually did a pretty good job on offense in that game and took advantage of the possessions that they had. They just were able to kind of hang around in that game. If the Titans play their style and Derrick Henry gets rolling early, I mean, they're going to be able to move the ball at will against this Detroit defense.
So you're telling me that possessing the ball, running the ball, keeping the great offense on the sideline can work?
That's what I'm telling you.
I hope Shil Kapadia is still listening to the show. I think there's some value in that.
There is. And look, hey, you talk about Derrick Henry maybe being hurt by this game. He could very well go for $150 in the first half of this game.
He could.
He'd be in good shape.
But we'll see what we always see probably, which is the Lions will be geared up. And they'll get some, you know, they'll stop him for a yard or for a loss of a yard. And they're just all focused on stopping, just like every single defense at the beginning of a game against the Titans. You know, it's just like if you can get to that tired fourth quarter defense and you still have them on the field, that's where you could really see him break some. But sure, I mean, anything's on the table. It's not like he can't do stuff like that in the first half. And to Porter's point, I mean, it's the NFL. The Titans are capable still of giving up points in this game and letting the Lions hang around longer than they should.
They are, and, you know, from an injury standpoint, it's one thing if Stafford can't go, but if you don't have Stafford and you don't have Kenny Golladay, I mean, you're basically Marvin Jones Jr. on an island out there. Hawkinson's a nice player at tight end, too, but Lions don't have much of a running game. Adrian Peterson's still nice, but, I mean, Adrian Peterson is not what he once was. And the Titans' run defense, that's the one part about the defense that I'm starting to feel better about. We mentioned all season, like, they've just been gashed time and time again against the run. The last few weeks, I'm starting to feel a little bit better about the Titans and their rush defense.
Yeah, I thought they were really good against a quality adversary in James Robinson and that Jaguars running offense. They definitely deserve credit for that. Like, the Mike Glennon part of it, yes, you discount that. But
right. The
James Robinson part of it, yeah, I agree. I will say, you know, Heidi and a lot of people out there, Jared, you know, addition by subtraction thing with Clowney, don't buy that at all. They'd take him right this second to try to help on the outside. But maybe the run D at times, maybe he was a problem there, a detriment there. And they're a
too
little
much
bit,
freelancing?
Yeah. You know, maybe they're a little bit more sound in what they're doing, fitting correctly, everybody doing their job. So maybe that's part of it. But I agree. That seems to be less of a problem, which is big. I mean, even though they give up 3rd and 12, you still would rather be in 3rd and long against teams in 3rd and 3.
When we come back, we'll continue to break down the matchup between the Titans and the Lions. What concerns you the most in this matchup against Detroit on Sunday? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next, but first make sure you're tuning in to this Saturday's game of the week. We got a championship triple header presented by Gary Force Acura. 102.5 The Game will have the Big Ten, ACC, and SEC championship games. It all starts at 11 a.m. It'll be the Big Ten championship game as Northwestern takes on Ohio State. Then at 3 o'clock, the ACC title game will feature Clemson versus Notre Dame. And then the nightcap at 7 p.m., Florida takes on Alabama in the SEC championship game. So a loaded day here on Saturday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looking ahead to the Titans and Lions game on Sunday. Got a texture that says the NFL needs to introduce relegation when it comes to the the Lions. What do you make of the idea of just like throwing them out? Let's get somebody else in the league. Bring the Lions down a notch.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, hey, I think the relegation thing, I think that's just fascinating
in
European soccer. I don't hate that. I don't hate that idea. So I'm not totally familiar then. If you relegated the Lions then, does that mean like you could go bring an XFL team up or something?
Yeah. Like, sure. You got a league below, you just bring the top teams up.
Well, let me tell you, you know, as a young boy, as a Lions fan, and they were, you know, frustrating. But they had one of my all-time favorite athletes, Billy Sims. Also, by the way, a guy who would have been one of the greatest running backs of all time, tore his ACL in his fourth year. And back then, that meant you were done in a lot of cases. But the Michigan Panthers of the USFL they filled the void. They came in and they gave us championship football. They won the championship their first year. Like, I would have totally been for relegating the Lions to the USFL and bringing the Panthers into the NFL at the time. So, unfortunately, I mean, the USFL could have worked, and, you know, it didn't.
It did not.
It did not.
Let's go back to our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. In your opinion, which AFC team poses the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs? Is it the Bills? Is it the Titans? Is it the Steelers? Is it somebody else? In the AFC, more than 460 votes so far. 48% going with the Titans, 36% going with the Bills, 12% with the Steelers, and then just 4% with another team in the AFC. The Titans, I mean, it started off in the poll, Joe. They were right around 58, 59%. It's dropped to 48% for the Titans. More love coming in for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I think Porth and I, through the course of the show, like, I thought more about it. I'm like, actually, I would pick the Titans over the Bills. Like the Bills. And I'm not overly reacting to the one game, 42-16. I like the Bills. I like what Josh Allen has done. Stephon Diggs is a stud. They have a better defense than the Titans for sure. I mean, they have a better chance against the Chiefs of having a few stops in a game. But I think that running the football aspect of it, that style of play, could be helpful. And I think the Titans were doing exactly that. We saw 25 minutes of it. We saw 25 minutes of it in the AFC title game. They were, of course, you have to finish the touchdown. You have to finish those drives with touchdowns. But, you know, at one point they're up 17-7 in that game, and it's three possessions. It's touchdown, touchdown, field goal. You know, you got to make that third one a touchdown, and then you got to keep going. But they were doing the job and got at least one stop in there, you know, and maybe the Chiefs. Maybe you just get a little bit frantic, get a little bit outside yourself if you never have the ball and you feel like, oh, now let's go do everything that we wanted to do today on this one possession.
Here's an interesting take on Twitter from Steven. Steven says, Steelers and Bills can't run the ball. The Chiefs already toyed with the Bills once this year. The Titans are the only team on that list averaging over 30 points a game, and they can run the ball and tire out defenses. Stylistically, they've got the best chance. The Chiefs score on everyone, so defensively that part of the ball doesn't matter.
Yeah, like I agree with everything until the end. There's still like a bad defense versus a pretty good defense. There still might be another couple stops in there for the better one, right?
Yeah.
And that could make the difference in the game. So, yes, they score on everyone, but they do not score 40 every week. We just talked earlier on the show about, you know, like the Broncos game, for example. I mean, they've had games where they haven't been as good. You figure they're going to be at their best in the playoffs. But I agree, stylistically. I mean, I think that's the thing. That's why when you talk about the Titans with what they're doing all around on offense, with the style that I do think is absolutely made for pulling that off, if you could just get to whatever the adjective is on defense, okay, decent, solid. You know, that was the idea going into this year. Can the Titans take another step on defense, add a pass rush to what they have, and still have that offense? That's a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. Well, we've had a couple people on Twitter respond and say, like, the biggest obstacle to the Chiefs is themselves. Like, you can talk about the Bills and the Titans all you want, and I buy that to a certain degree. Like, if you tell me going into a game that the Chiefs are going to execute at their highest level, like they're executing how they want to execute offensively, I'm not sure that there's a team that could stop them. Like, you could tell me that the Titans offense can come in and execute and have a great day and they could still lose. Like, we've seen that happen. I just don't know if Kansas City comes in and they are playing the way they're capable of playing, I'm not sure there's anything anybody can do. Like, they're that good offensively that they just, I mean, you've got Kelce, you've got Tyreek Hill, You got the best quarterback in the game. All these different things. I just don't know how you stop them if they're operating at their top level. So I kind of buy that maybe the biggest threat to the Chiefs is themselves and them just screwing it up.
Yeah, no, I'd buy that too. I mean, I think with the Chiefs, you know, there's a couple things that you can try to do. One is, like, you don't give up the 70, 80-yard touchdown. But, you know, easier said than done when they have Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid that and you can get some red zone stops, well, then, you know, that's big. You force them into field goals. But, again, easier said than done. I mean, they're out here, like, underhanding the ball to each other and all these, like, these wacky red zone where they shift right before the
tight
snap
end screen up the middle to Kelsey. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're tough. I mean, they are. When it's all working together, it's just, I mean, it's incredibly fun to watch. So let's, but I would tend to agree with that.
Let's shift the discussion, not only just in the AFC, to the league as a whole. If you had to pick one team in the entire league as the biggest threat to Kansas City, like, who would it be? Is it still the Bills? Like, in the AFC, are they the top threat? Would it be the Saints? Like, where would you go with that? Because I think it might be the Rams. I really do. I think the Rams might be the biggest threat to the Chiefs.
You know, I don't hate that idea just because of Aaron Donald and what maybe he could do. Again, you got one of the best corners in football out there. I don't hate that idea. Can the Rams, and then of course the Rams run the football too. You know, can the Rams score enough? You still also have to finish drives with touchdowns. You have to score a lot of points. But I think they have a case. I think the Packers have a case. Because, you know, it's just, hey, this is the one guy who can go out there if it was actually a duel of quarterbacks.
It'd be a fun game.
Yeah. And I think the Saints have a case, you know, with their defense. I like their defense a lot with Kamara. If they had Drew Brees at full capacity, healthy, with Michael Thomas, we haven't seen a lot of that this year. Those would be the three. But I don't hate that idea that the Rams kind of like, a lot of people might not pick the Titans, but if you think about it, they kind of make sense. If you're thinking stylistically, maybe Rams and Titans are the answers.
We'll get to see this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
With
A light version.
But we don't get to see Drew Brees.
Yeah, get a little Taysom Hill action. We all know how much Joe loves him some Taysom Hill action. And you can catch that this Sunday. Coverage beginning at 2:45 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Saints and the Chiefs. So maybe a preview this weekend, Joe.
Could be. I mean, that's the Super Bowl I was hoping to get last year as purely as a fan of, like, what would be the best matchup when the playoffs began. I was like, man, Saints-Chiefs would be amazing. That would be a fun one now. But, yeah, this will be Saints-Chiefs light because, you know, Taysom he's a heck of a tight end. I'll give him that. Somehow he counts as a tight end in fantasy too.
Does he still count that way? Like, are they still putting in Taysom Hill as a tight end? Like, there's no way, right? You had to fix that.
Yeah, maybe not. A couple weeks ago, it worked, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's playoff time.
Got me beat.
Can you imagine getting, like, Taysom Hill's production from quarterback at your tight end spot?
Yeah. Not bad. It was very handy for the person who beat me.
You don't sound bitter about it at all, Joe.
That's all right. I'm in the semifinals this weekend. We're okay.
Okay. Big fantasy football matchups here. If you missed any of our show today, you can check us out. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. Anywhere that you can get your podcast. We had great conversations. Shiel Kapadia, Rick Neuheisel, Derek Roberson, all different types. Jennifer Hammond from Fox 2 in Detroit joined us to preview the Titans and Lions. Check it out on Apple and on Spotify. Joe, that's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Pigskin picking tomorrow. So we got a lot of work to do against Ryan Porth. That's not going well lately. But
bring it on.
Why don't you forfeit a week, Porth?
That's right. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.